Welcome everybody to 2019, right? The first Sunday of the year. Man, I said it before, it's awesome just to be worshiping with you guys. I love starting off the year right. I love just being in the church, in the house of God with other Christians, other people, just lifting God high. Just an awesome time together. If you're new to our church, we like to study the Bible in series. And so we do a lot of series during the year dealing with different topics. A lot of times it's things that are pressing on us at that moment or things that we're walking through or seasons of life, seasons of the year. And so we do a lot of series. And so a lot of us are coming out of New Year's with some New Year's resolutions, hopefully still intact on day six. And so some of us are coming out and you've got these resolutions. A lot of us have things that we're trying to get out of our lives, not just things that we're adding. And so next week we're starting a series on freedom, on breaking free from a lot of things that maybe have hindered or have come against our life. And so that'll be next week. We're starting on that. And I think it's going to be an awesome chance in the month of January just to break free from some things that have been habitual sins in your life or things that have kind of attached themselves to you, you haven't been able to break free of. And so we'll start that next Sunday. But from time to time, we do some standalone messages, not really connected to the series before, not really to the series after. They're just kind of standalone. That's what this weekend is about. That's what today, this morning is about. And that's what this message. And I promise you, God has something for you this morning. I just believe with all my heart as I was studying for this message, just that God has some things that he wants to do in your life. And so I'm excited about this morning as we step into a season as a church that I'm also excited about. As we step into a time as a church, and I'll tell you a little bit about that as we do that. But first, I want to just take some time, and I think it's important at the beginning of the year to take some time to celebrate the things that God is doing around and in and at Victory. And so I wanted to give this number, and last year at Victory alone, we're not big about numbers, but this one we are. And so last year at Victory, we had 147 salvations, decisions for Christ. Is that not awesome during the year? And so can we, just to praise God for what he's doing. And so a lot of you are starting a new journey. Maybe you're just starting in your Christian faith and you're just starting on this journey of faith. And I want you to know you're in the right place and you're in good company. We're excited to have to be on that journey with you and to walk with you alongside as we all continue to follow after God to see what he wants for our lives. And so I was kind of mulling over what we could talk about or what we should do. And what I wanted to do is I wanted kind of to start with last week's sermon, because that was the last Sunday of the year, and I wanted to kind of rehash that for those of you who might have been traveling or not with us, and kind of bring that into this week's sermon, and just start it off that way, because there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 58, or chapter 43, verse 18, and in this translation it says, "Forget what happened in the past." We preached about that last week, right? You guys learned this awesome message about forget what happened in the past. So come on, everybody, let's let 2018 be 2018, all right? We've turned the page on the new year. Let's not dwell on the things. A lot of us, we have a tendency to mull over the things that we did wrong or the mistakes that we had in 2018, and we relive those, right? How many of you woke up in the middle of the night and you remember something you did 20 years ago, right? And you gnashed your teeth just thinking, why did I do? We tend to relive these things, and our brains are the worst at this, but God has something amazing for each one of us. God has something new for each one of us. Says, don't dwell on the past. And so let's let 2018 be some lessons that we learned, some victories we had, some mistakes we made, some things we walked through. But let's let 2018 be 2018 and leave it in the past. God is saying, I have something new for you. I'm going to do something new. And this is what I love the most, because the Bible said it is already happening. Don't you recognize it? The Bible says, now, if you don't know this on your spiritual journey, and I've learned this in my years as a Christian, is that a lot of times when I'm praying for something or I'm asking for something and I'm praying, God is already orchestrating and moving events to answer my prayer. God's already moving things around and organizing situations and events and things like that. Even while I'm starting to pray for it, he's already been moving things and orchestrating them to answer my prayer. And not always the answer that I want, not always the answer that I wrote down or that I chose, because the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts, and it's always better the way that he chooses to answer, but he's moving them around. And the process between me praying and me seeing the answer to my prayer is not me getting God on my page to answer my prayer. It's not me somehow getting God's attention and getting, letting him know, hey, did you forget about this? Or did you? That's not the answer. A lot of times I've noticed that it's God opening my eyes to see how he's already orchestrating events to answer my prayer. He's already moving. It says, it's already happening. Don't you recognize it? Do you not see it? That God's already moving these things to answer in a better way than we could ever ask. And so the question then would be, do we see it? Can we see how God wants to do something new and in your life, in my life and in your life? And the question is, do we see it? Whether it be whatever's necessary. Because you're praying for the lost. God sees those lost people. You're praying for something to happen at work. And God sees that. And God's orchestrating things. And the question then is, can we see it? And here's the promise. Two things that I think God wants to do. He says, I'll clear a way in the desert. And a lot of you're frustrated with life. You get to the end of a year and you think, okay, 2018's over, 2018's passed, and what did I do with the year? A lot of you are frustrated, and you're honest with yourself. You would say, okay, I'm going through a kind of a desert. I'm going through a dry place in my life. And just be truthful, and you don't have to be truthful with me, be truthful with yourself. You'd say, I'm working really hard. I'm walking really hard. I'm trying really hard, but things are just dry. In my marriage, with my kids, at my work, with my relationships, everything is just dry and I don't know how to get out of it. Well, God's saying, I will bring clarity. I'll clear a way in the desert. I'll show you what the next step is. God's promising he'll bring clarity. And so I believe for some of you who are unable to discern what's next. Some of you are coming to this point and you can't figure out how you're going to get out of the desert. You don't know what that next step is. God is promising to bring clarity. He's promising to bring that, whatever that step is. More importantly than that, I think a lot of us know the way out, or we can see where we're supposed to be, but we can't see how we're supposed to take that step. We know what the step is, we just can't figure out how we're supposed to find the power to do it. And he says, I'll make rivers on dry land. Anywhere you see a river in the Bible, it represents the presence and the power of God, especially moving water. Anywhere in the Old Testament, the presence and the power of God. Because a lot of us, we can't see how we're going to get the power to do whatever that step is. We know what we're supposed to do. We know the way out. We know where we're supposed to be. But we can't see that connection between where we are and where we're supposed to be. We can't see how we're supposed to accomplish it. And statistics would bear this out, by the way. A lot of New Year's resolutions, they say the majority are made 10 times. That's 10 years, everybody, all right? That's a decade of us putting losing weight on our resolutions, okay? That's a whole decade of us doing it. And they say after 10 times, we either give up or we accomplish the goal. And I think too often, a lot of us, right, we just give up. We can't do it after 10 times. We can't lose the weight, so we're just going to eat as much cake as we can possibly eat, right? Amen, everybody. We're just going to stuff our faces around New Year's because we just can't do it. We can't accomplish the goal. And so the Bible says he'll make rivers on dry land. So God is going to say, I'll bring clarity to your desert, and then I'll give you the power to accomplish what I've called you to do. I'll give you clarity, I'll tell you what that next step is, and then I'll bring my power to help you accomplish that next step. And so for those of you who are stuck in a dry place, you don't know what's next, you don't know how you're going to get there, God is promising you, I'm going to do something new in your life, I'm going to give you the next step, and I'm going to give you my power to carry it out. So here's the question, what do you see? Can you see what God is doing? What do your eyes see in your life? What do you see that God is accomplishing, that he's orchestrating? You have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see what God is doing. And the reason why a lot of times that we don't see what he's doing and we don't hear God's voice clearly in our life is we have a connection problem. We have a connection problem because God is speaking to each and every one of us. God is saying, I have something new for you. And it's not like we're praying and then God is speaking. God is speaking to us. And so we have a connection problem in hearing his voice clearly. And it's probably because we're looking at the wrong thing. And you might have heard this before, but we're made up of three parts. As a person, you're made up of three parts, your spirit, your soul, and your body. And the spirit is the part of you that will live forever in eternity somewhere. Depending on your trust in Jesus as your Savior, your spirit will live forever in eternity somewhere. The body that we have, and that's the part that we make New Year's resolutions about, right? That's the part that we want to change. And then you have your soul, and that's our mind and our will and our emotions. And the problem with those three things that make us up is they all want to run your life. Each of those things individually has a desire to run everything in your life. But it only works successfully if one thing is in control. If one thing is in control, it only works successfully. And all three of them connect us to something different. All right, so take some notes if you like. If you don't like taking notes, take some notes anyways, all right? So the first thing is our body. Our body connects us to ourselves. Our body always connects us to ourselves. And it's our physical body. We're in tune with ourselves. Or when we allow our bodies to call the shots, it brings about the destruction of everything else in our lives because our body is sleepy, our body is hungry, our body is thirsty. Right? Our body has lust and greed and all those other things that come along with a fallen person. Our body, when it's in control, it'll bring around the destruction of everything else in your life. And it destroys all the other parts, all right? Then the soul is what connects us to others. Your soul is what connects you to other people in your life. Let me put it this way. The soul is the part of you that posts on Instagram and needs 100 people to like it in 30 seconds, right? Or there is this worldwide conspiracy against you. Like all of your friends are at some party that you weren't invited to, right? And that's why they're not checking their phones and liking your post. And everybody just hates you, so you hate everybody. That's your soul, right? That's the soul part of you. The soul that wants to please other people. And when your soul is running your life, again, you run into trouble. Because your soul is living too much for other people. So then the last part of us is the spirit. And the spirit is what connects us to God. So when you become a Christian, when you became a Christian, your spirit is made new, the Bible says. At that moment, your spirit is made new. Like in an instant, all the old things pass away in your spirit. And you have this desire to learn about God and to read your Bible and to go after Him. And when you do it, it says that our spirit is made perfect. But none of us are perfect after we come to God. Amen. Someone say amen this morning. None of us are perfect after we come to God. None of us have that. And the reason for all of that is this exact thing. A lot of us walk through, we still struggle with the same cycles. We still struggle with our sins. We still struggle. The reason for that we walk through these seasons is that we do walk through seasons where the spirit is the strongest. But so many times in our life, we walk through seasons where the body and the soul are stronger. Where the body and the soul drown out the spirit. And so sometimes we're listening to God. We're saying yes to Him. We're saying everything you have for us, we're ready. We're hearing your voice so clearly. We're reading our Bibles. We're praying. We're in that moment with God and the Spirit is in control. And then sometimes we go through seasons of our life where we're in dry places and we're letting the body take control or the soul take over. And it's bringing about destruction. And chances are we've walked through seasons like that very, very recently. Because in December, right, it's just a time of too much. We spent too much. We ate too much, right? A lot of us, we slept too much. Some of you, we just spent too much time. And if I had to guess, probably you spent the whole month, right, trying to do stuff for other people, trying to please everybody, trying to do everything that you could, going all out because you thought, this is December and I'm going to diet in January, so why can't I just go all out right now, right? And you just thought, I'm just going to do, but you can't start a diet on Tuesday, January 1st, right, because who starts a diet in the middle of the week? You can't start on Wednesday because that's also the middle, and you're going to start it tomorrow, right? That's when you're going to start, and everything's going to be okay. So we stay up till midnight. On December 31st, and you eat all the cake you can stuff your face with, and you dance and sing and do everything at midnight, and then you wake up with heartburn, right, and you hate your body again, and you hate everybody else in your world, and you just hate everything, right? And why is that? Because you've lived too much for other people, you've lived too much for the body and the soul. And we feel miserable, right? Because we've got the wrong thing calling the shots. We've got the wrong thing in control of our life. To be honest with you, the simplicity of Christianity is making sure that you silence other voices and you let the right one be in control. The simplicity of the Christian walk is just making sure that you let the right voice be in control. And the longer and the more powerful the spirit part of you is in control, the more your life will reflect how God wants you to live. The more you let the spirit part of you be in control, the more that your life will reflect how God wants you to live. And so all of us have seasons where we do really well. We all have them. We all have that moment where we are on the ball. We are doing things correctly. And then we all have seasons where we don't, where we kind of drift. And so we have to figure out, how do I weaken the other two, the body and the soul? How do I weaken the other two so that I can clearly hear the voice of God, so that my spirit can connect with God? And I'm going to give you the secret this morning, all right? I'm going to give you the secret to it. Here it is. Fasting disconnects us from body and soul. Fasting is what disconnects us from body and soul. Fasting is what pushes away the other voices in our life, the other competing voices, and lets the spirit voice speak. Lets our spirit connect to God and hear clearly what He has for our life. And then prayer is what connects us to God. Prayer is what connects us. And so what we need as we come out of these seasons, that we're a little distant from God, or we're allowing these other competing voices to compete, we need a season where we fast and we pray. We have to have that. When we come out of a December where maybe we did a little too much, or we gave ourselves over a little too much, we have to fast and we pray. Now, I know if you're a guest this morning, for the first time you are thinking, what in the world? I finally decided to come to church and this kook is going to tell me I can't eat food, right? I finally decide I should have stayed home, watched the Chargers play. I told you we shouldn't have gone to church, right? That's what you're, I understand. If that's just relax with me, all right? I'm going to help you with a lot of this. There are a lot of different ways that this looks. A lot of different ways that you need to do this, but you need to do this. And so I 100% guarantee you this morning, I usually don't do these because, you know, I want some kind of non-100% guarantee, 100% guarantee that if you listen to these principles from God's word, you put them into your life, 2019 will be the best year of your life. I can say that simply. If you listen to the principle from God's word, not from me, not from some man, if you listen to these principles, you put them into your life, this will be the best year of your life, because it will be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. It will be the best year of your life. So we're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting. That's what we're kicking off tonight at 6 o'clock. What we're kicking off as a church. And we have staked the foundation of our church on seeking God through prayer and fasting. The culture of our church, we have based it around this. And this year we're going to do it from the night of the 26th, that's tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, to the 26th. And we're going to gather together, it's the morning of the 27th. Let me tell you what this means. I'm calling our church to a church-wide fast. If I can put it as simply as possible, to a church-wide fast, every single person. And so for 21 days, we're going to gather 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. And then on Sunday nights, we meet at 6 p.m. and on Saturdays, we meet at 9 a.m. But 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., during the week, whichever one works better for your schedule. We're going to meet here in the main sanctuary and we're just going to pray. We're going to seek God's will for our church. We're going to seek God's will for our bodies, for our lives, for our families. And I encourage you, if you've never been to something, I encourage you to come. There's nothing spooky about it. Nobody invades your space, all right? It's not some crazy. It's just people going after God. Just seeking God's will for our lives. So I encourage you, if you've never been a part of that, never seen people, just go after God. Just ask him what he wants to speak to us. You've never been in that kind of corporate prayer meeting, I'd invite you to come. Just come tonight at 6 o'clock. It's going to be amazing. And on Saturdays, I told you 9 to 10, we all come together, the morning and the evening crew on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And we just pray. We just seek God's will for our lives. And if you can't make any of those times, we stream every single one on our website. So if you want to join us that way, you're at work already in the mornings or at night, you got to work late or the kids, whatever it is, you can stream all of those. Just using that time to focus in to pray. And this will be the best year of your life because we're going to put God first. We're going to put him first in our lives, put him first in everything that we do, put him first in our schedules. We're going to work everything else around this. And you're going to see things come to pass that you never thought possible. When you start to pray and you start to fast, you will see things come to pass that you never thought were possible because God wants to do something new. And he's saying, can you see it? Are you in tune? Is the spirit the loudest voice? Are you cutting out the body and the soul so you can hear from your spirit? But in order to be successful in this, you have to have a plan. And so I thought I would devote this morning just to this idea of a church-wide fast. I would devote this morning, just get us all on the same page, because you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan if you're going to. So let me give you a couple of things you can jot down to think about this afternoon and tonight as we go into this fast tonight. Things that you can start to think about, things that you can discuss with your at your last lunch, right? You can discuss these things and just talk it over with your spouse, with your family. All right, number one is you got to set your prayer objectives. When we go into a season like this, I would be criminally mischief not to tell you to set your prayer objectives before you go into this. You got to have something that you're praying for. There needs to be a purpose. It means something that you're fasting. If you don't have a purpose or an objective, then it's just a diet, right? And diets are great, but nobody likes those. So the truth is, right, you have to do it. The truth is a lot of you aren't doing it. James 4, he says, you desire, but you don't have. So you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. So a lot of you don't have because you're not asking God for it. And so I would encourage you. A lot of us, we're really good about telling other people what's wrong in our life, right? A lot of you, the people around you, and sometimes the canines around you also know what is going wrong in your life, the frustrations that you have and your pressure points. And my question would be to you, when you come to me and you ask those kind of things, my question to you would be, have you told God about it? Not something like uber spiritual, have you prayed? Have you had a conversation with God about what you're going through? Because James says you're not asking for the things that you need. He says you don't have because you do not ask God. He says when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Like we need to appeal to God first and foremost instead of telling everyone else in our life. We need God to be our first response. Not our last resort. And that's why this time again, we do this every prayer service and every 21 days of prayer that we have. We have these bracelets for you. They're going to be at every door today when you leave. We've got these prayer bracelets for you that just say, pray first. They just say, pray first. Because we as a church believe this so strongly that prayer will be our first response, not our last resort. We're not going to try everything else that we can possibly do and then we're going to go to God with it. No, we're going to God at the first of the year. We're going to God in prayer and we're going to lift these things before him. And I encourage you to wear these. If somebody asks, well, how long do I have to wear it? I don't care how long you wear it. Wear it till it becomes a habit. I don't care if you take it off after the second day because you've got that so ingrained in you. But wear it till it becomes a habit. Till you're going to God first in your prayer life. You're going to God first in bringing your frustrations and your pressure points and the things that you're walking through. And then it says you got to have the right motives when you go to it, because a lot of times if we're not careful, the way that we pray becomes selfish. And God says, I'm not answering that kind of prayer. When you pray, we go into prayer with just this list of thankful. I'm just going to ask for everything that I really, really want. And so, God, I want to win the lottery, and I want to, have the biggest house on the block, and I want to have a Ferrari. So just go ahead and check those off. And God doesn't answer that kind of prayer. Now, maybe if you're going to bring everybody you know to church in your Ferrari, maybe he'll give you a Ferrari. I don't know. I don't know if that's biblical. I don't know what better way to go to church, right? I'd go to church with someone if they wanted me to go in their Ferrari, right? I'd go, I don't care, stranger, candy. I don't care what mom said. I'm going to church, right? If they asked me to get in their Ferrari, you just got to take a chance on that. But God's not giving, if you want a Ferrari because, somebody's going to look at you differently or maybe they'll regard you or think you've got it going on in life. That's a lousy, lousy reason for a prayer, and it's totally unbiblical. And so God's not going to answer that. God doesn't mind you having stuff, but he wants you to remember the reason for it. He wants you to remember the reason that he's given you anything that he's given you, and everything is to leverage it for the kingdom of God. And so when we begin to pray, we begin to pray with the right motives. Here's a few things. I just thought I'd give you a list of things you can put on your list if you don't have any prayer objectives on these. These are just a few that are always on my list. And the first one is declare our dependence on God. We got to let God know that we need him. We got to let God know here at the first, when we begin to pray, put this at the first of your prayer objectives. Declare your dependence on God. Let him know that you need. We pray that in my own life. We pray that as a church. Because if God's presence is not here, I can't preach well enough to build this church. All right. I don't know if that's a secret for all of you. Maybe it's not. Maybe don't say amen there. But maybe it's not a secret. I can't preach well enough to build this church. We don't sing the right songs. We can't fabricate a student ministry. We can't do it. If God's presence is not here, there is nothing. There is nothing. The reason that people's lives are being changed and people are coming to Christ and people are doing it is because of the presence of God. And we know that. We never lose sight of that God's presence is here. And so we start off our prayer declaring our dependence on him. If God leaves this place, it's over. If God leaves it, it's over. And so we cry out and we say, God, we can't do it without you. And I need that in my marriage. I need that in my family. I need that in my house. We need that in every part of our life because God is saying, God is speaking, God is doing something new. And we say, we cannot do it without you. Second thing we need is to ask for forgiveness. Got a little quiet in this room. We ask for forgiveness. Jesus included this in the daily prayer, by the way. When Jesus told us, hey, how do we pray? They asked him, he asked us, he taught us to pray. He said, every day you need to have this time of repentance. Forgive us. God, for the attitudes, the perspectives in my heart, for the things that I've done, for things that I've allowed to take high places in my life. God, just forgive me. Just repentance. As some of you know, 2018, you kind of let some things grow up in your life. You kind of let some things take hold, kind of let some things take charge of your life. Some of you know you've got that and you need to change that. And there's a time of repentance before God. Just praying for forgiveness. And then if you don't know specifically what it is, don't ask the people around you. They could probably tell you what it is. But if you don't know, pray like David prayed and say, Lord, if there is any wicked way in me, show it to me. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me, show it to me. And then lead me in paths of righteousness. Lead me in paths everlasting. David prayed that. Lord, if there is any way, and I don't know how many times I can tell you that I've had stuff in my life and I've paced these floors during these 21 days in this building. I'm just pacing and I've asked God, if there is anything, and God has shown me things. Show me relationships. Show me perspectives that I had about those relationships and said, hey, you've got a problem here. You've got a problem here. And sometimes I had no idea that I had a problem there. The other person probably knew that I had a problem there, but I had no idea that he'll show you things. Third thing we need to do is refocus on the eternal. Because December is all about the temporal. It's all about the temporal, what I can get for Christmas, right? And what did I get for you for Christmas, right? And what did we eat? And where's the leftover ham, baby? Because where's the corn and pass that, right? It's amazing. And family is great. And everything that we do, all that stuff is really nice. But we have to remember that this life is not just about this life. We're not just living for the temporal. We're not just living for this life. And so we refocus on the eternal. And this stuff that we have is not just about stuff. It's about leveraging everything we have to spread the gospel for the kingdom of Christ. Because the message of the cross and the message of the Bible has never been that the church would be built as a country club for Christians. That's never been the message. It's never been what we've been all about. It's always and ever been seeking and saving that which is lost. Bringing the gospel of Christ to those that are lost. We are about the gospel for the kingdom of God. So we got to refocus on the eternal. What's this place about? What are we living for? What's my life all about? Am I making a difference? And then we invite the presence of God into our lives. That's what we're doing in these 21 days. You have these objectives. Every relationship has an ebb and a flow. If you have a friendship or you have a marriage, if you're good at relationships, you know this. So there are times where you kind of drift. And it's not intentional. Sometimes there are requirements put on your time strains. There are some different things put on you, and you just kind of drift in a friendship. Everybody knows if you're good at relationships and if that relationship is worth keeping, then every so often you got to throw another log on that fire of, hey, I'm still in love with you. Or, hey, I still want to make this relationship last. You got to throw another something. You got to do something like, I'm going to be romantic, right? This is a great marriage principle, by the way. I'm just throwing, this is free for you. Just say, I'm going to bring some flowers. I'm going to do something for her. I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to do a little bit of something romantic to just throw this thing on. Hey, we got to keep this thing going. We got to keep this fire going. The same thing is true with our relationship in Christ. We always love the Lord. We always love the Lord, but sometimes we've allowed ourselves to drift. Allow ourselves to get just a little bit further. We're not reading as much in our Bibles. We're not spending as much time with him. We allow ourselves just to kind of let the body and the soul speak up a little bit more, take a little bit more control. And we've got to be intentional about making sure we don't drift. Intentional about coming back, putting that effort in to bring us back into alignment. So my challenge for you is let's come out of January more in love with Jesus than at any point in our lives. And you know your own life, where that has been. Come out of January more in love with him than you ever have been. I don't care how young or how old you are. Let's come out of January like that. Let's say, you know what? This is the moment. This is my mountaintop experience. This is where I'm going to be so close to God. Like, I've never heard his voice as clearly as this. I've never been in my Bible as much in the Word of God. I've never been worshiping. I've never done anything like this. I've never put the effort into it to make sure I align under God. And I think a fast can help more than anything else for that. And so you list the things that you're praying for. Could be a healing in your family, or a restoration of a relationship, or freedom from an addiction. Whatever it is, you begin to list the things that you're praying for. Like, we've got some things, we've got some pressing needs, and I believe God is going to answer those kinds of prayers. And I'm standing with you that healing is going to come to our bodies. I don't know if that's in your physical body, that's in, as a body of Christ, or people who are in the hospital, or people who have physical illnesses. I'm praying with you for healing. I don't know if it's in your marriage. Praying with you for healing. I don't know if it's in your relationships or it's with your kids. I don't know where it is. Your emotions, your finances, whatever it is, I'm praying for healing. We're going to begin to list those things, and amazing miracles are going to happen. I can't tell you how many times in my life and in the lives of those in our church that God has worked the most amazing miracles on the back of a 21-day prayer and fast. That God has already started to do things, that he is working miracles. So we got to set the agenda. What are we going to accomplish? What are we praying for? What are we trying to do? And the second thing we've got to do is we've got to decide what that's going to look like. What type of fast are you going to do? What type of fast? You got to decide that. What you're going to do for that. And if you're getting a little bit nervous, of course, I just want to kind of explain this. I told you, I want to take this morning and just kind of give you a game plan. Just kind of get you in on what this is going to look like. And you can decide for yourself after you've prayed, you can decide. Because there's what we call the complete fast, the total fast. And that is nothing but water, right? You're not eating anything. You're not doing it. You're drinking only water for 21 days. And there are some people in our church who are going to do that for these 21 days. But let me say this with a little bit of comedy thrown in. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the kind of fast that he will direct you to do. All right. I'm putting that one out because there is this tendency. If you've never fasted before, or if you're young, or if you're just really gung ho about this, you're like, I'm going to crush it. I'm going to do it. Right? I'm going to make it as tough as possible. I'm going to do this thing. And by day three, right, you're eating nothing but Pizza Hut and drinking Dr. Pepper and crying about your spiritual failure. All right. Let's just calm down a little bit. All right. Relax with me. The Holy Spirit will lead you in the type of fast. But if you go into this thing, all right, if you go into this thing with no research, no nothing, you just cut off everything but water for 21 days, you will die. All right, I'm just throwing that out there for you. You know, just take it or leave it. You will die. And so if I can just warn you a little bit, if the Holy Spirit leads you to a total fast, then you do some research on it. You figure out if your body is going to do it, and then you go into it. All right? But if you've got some medical condition and you do a bunch of these things, God gave us the Holy Spirit, but he also gave you a brain, everybody, all right? He expects you to use it. And so God is calling you to fast something. And the Holy Spirit will lead you in the type of fast that you're going to do. There's a juice fast that some people do. That's where you cut out all solids and you only drink liquids. And you throw in some protein shakes for carbs and things and people. But you're denying your body the pleasure of chewing and eating. It's a very difficult fast to do. And without a doubt, someone will come during these 21 days and ask if they can blend a cheeseburger into a protein shake, right? It never fails. Somebody will ask about, you know, can I put the T-bone steak in there and just blend it? Will it blend? is the rally cry for a lot of 21-day fasters. But there's that juice fast. There's what they call the partial fast, which is the Jewish fast. You don't eat from sun up to sundown. After sundown, you eat, which around here is around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so you can eat after the sun goes down, right? So that's a very easy fast to do in December and January. So just don't do that. You can do that one if you like. And then there's the Daniel fast. It's a really popular one where you eliminate certain types of food. All throughout Daniel's life, he fasted. All throughout his life, Daniel fasted. But he was always, while he fasted, he was always eating something. But he cut out the food, it calls them the choice foods. He cuts out the foods that he likes. A lot of people try to do the Daniel fast and they try to say, well, you know, there's this technicality. I can work that into my... He cut out the food that he liked. And so some people say, well, I'm going to cut out my desserts. Or I'm going to cut out this or that that I really like. It's a very difficult fast, even maybe more so than the liquid fast. Because while you're still eating, you're denying yourself. You're still chewing, but it's not the stuff that you like to eat. And so it's a very difficult fast. And what Daniel did in his fast is he would just drink water and eat fruits and vegetables. It's a very good fast to do. Some of you need to do that. Some of you need to do that. It's a good fast to do. I think honestly, but oftentimes our body is not the only thing that's out of control. I told you our body is what connects us to ourselves and we have to silence that. And so I would encourage you, pick one of those to do during these 21 days. To silence the voice of the body. But a lot of times, and for a lot of us, I would say the majority of us, the body is not the only thing that's out of control. Our soul is something that needs to be in check as well. And so for you, a lot of you, you would rather drink water, right? You would rather drink water for 40 days if you're still allowed to check Instagram. A lot of you, you're saying, like, I would eat a seat cushion, right? As long as I can still check my Instagram, or I don't take my Facebook away. I gotta have it. I gotta have this thing. And I would suggest to you, that's probably a good idea that that's something to fast. That thing that just popped up in your mind is probably a good idea, an indication that you should fast, because we don't only have to disconnect from body, we have to disconnect from soul. And so maybe a media fast or a news fast or whatever it is that you watch or that you put into your body, whatever thing, or maybe even secular music, you have that voice coming into your life. It's silencing the other voices so you can hear the Spirit voice. It's silencing the other voices so God could speak to you. So shutting down Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Netflix, whatever media or social media is your drug of choice. It's cutting that out of your life so that you can hear God's voice. And I promise you, here's my other 100% guarantee, that if you do cut those out, the rest of the world will still function without your pictures of cats. I'm just trying to help out in fact, it might be doing a little bit better without. I'm just trying to help the world out, right? Without your. And so we set up a website on our website, victoryharvest.org/fasting, that you can go and see the details about a lot of these different fasts. You can see things, some links there, some resources, some articles on fasting, some just resources to help you gear up and do what you want to do for this 21 days. Just to strengthen you, and we'll update that as we go through the 21 days, just to strengthen you, just to help you on your journey, because we're going to do this together. But we're silencing those other voices. We're silencing those. And here's the secret. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, as we're going near the close today, to help us have a good fast. When you fast, and I love how the Bible puts that, because he doesn't say, if someday in your life you become a Jesus freak, and you go off the deep end, and you decide, hey, I want to fast. No, he says, when you fast. Just like when you pray and when you give and when you worship and when you read your Bible, when you do all these things that are part of the Christian life, you need to recapture that. He says, when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. So here's my challenge to you as a church. As we engage in this fast, don't get caught up in what you're doing, how you're doing it, what you look like while you're doing it. Because all of us are really good at manipulating other people in our lives to ask questions to let us show how holy we are. Y'all get what I'm saying on this, right? You understand what I'm saying? When you're sitting at work next week and everybody else is going out to lunch and you're at your desk at your computer with your big jug of water, right? And you're... and they're thinking, Susie, what's the matter? Why aren't you coming to lunch with us? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. Or you're at the gym, right? And you're like, man, I got to scale back the weights today, right? I got to do it a little bit less. I don't have the energy. And they're like, oh, why don't you have the energy? Oh, I'm fasting. And they're like, wow, you're so spiritual. Whoa. Well, if you choose to go down that road, enjoy it, everybody. Because Jesus said, truly, I tell you, that's your reward, everybody. All right. That's all you're going to get. If you choose to go down that road, if you want to make that, oh, you're so spiritual. If you choose that, that's all you're ever going to get. Enjoy that moment because that's all you'll have. That's all you're going to get out of the fast. There won't be any spiritual reward for your fast if that's the way you choose to play. Because the key to fasting is choosing something that disciplines the flesh, but that doesn't show to the world, oh, I'm holier than you are. Oh, I'm way above you. I'm more spiritual than you are. You got to choose something. And Jesus says, when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, put a little makeup on, right? Get it looking good so that it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting. Some people miss this verse entirely. Some people want to walk around with the whip on the back of their thing, right? They want to put the ash in the sackcloth. They want to just run. He says, when you fast, don't let other people know that you're doing it. Don't try to say, hey, I'm more spiritual than you. And your Father who is unseen, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. This is the coolest part about fasting, is that every time that you fast, there is a reward. Every time. But you get to choose where that reward comes from. Is that reward going to come from the people who are saying, oh, wow, you're so spiritual. No, is that what it's going to be? Or is it going to come from your Father who is unseen, who sees what you do in secret and wants to reward you? I don't know about you, but the second one is what I'm going after. It's not a trick question, all right? The second one is what I want. I want the reward that comes from God. And so what I don't want at church for these next 21 days is all of us kind of hobnobbing around, kind of, well, what are you fasting? What am I fasting? Well, what are you fasting? And trying to rank ourselves spiritually by what we're giving up. Trying to say, well, I didn't know that's all you're fasting. I must be much more spiritual than you. You're giving up Diet Coke. I'm giving up Diet Coke and pizza. And so, you know, I didn't know. I always thought you were more Christian than I was, but obviously my fast has proven that to be untrue. You know, I don't want that to going on in our church where we're trying to rank ourselves spiritually. We get spiritually arrogant about what we are or are not doing or are not giving up. God's never been about that. He's always been about the heart. And so your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The fasting process is only an attempt for us to silence the other voices so we can draw closer to God. That's it. Fasting is about silencing the other voices so that we can draw closer to God. So whatever you choose, you got to make sure, number three, you accomplish the simple goal of putting to death the flesh. Whatever you choose, however you choose to structure it for these 21 days, you got to put to death the flesh. Like you got to make sure you're reordering your life. Like we started at the beginning of the message, that the spiritual side of you is getting stronger. The body and soul are being silenced. And so I don't know what that looks like in your life. The Holy Spirit will lead you. Look at the things in your life, the things that have priority, the voices that are too loud, and silence them. Take this as your chance, a church-wide chance to silence those other voices. Because if that doesn't happen, if you're not actually silencing the other voices, you're punishing yourself for no reason. You're just punishing yourself out there on the street corner, just trying to say, oh God, look at me, look at me. But there is no benefit to it. You get that fleeting benefit of, oh wow, you're spiritual, but there is nothing else. You got to silence the voices. It's really just a brutal kind of diet. And a diet will never ever help you spiritually. A fast will. Amen. If we can get closer to God, I can tell you everything in your life will change. I'm not trying, and I don't know, this has been misconstrued sometimes in years past. I'm not trying to get you to lose weight. I'm trying to get you to get closer to God. This is the way that the Bible has told us that we can silence body and soul. We get closer to God, and everything else in your life comes under alignment. And so if you choose this, you got to put to death the flesh. Romans 8, I'll show it to you in scripture. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You can't put it much more simply than that. If you live according, and a lot of you don't need me to tell you this. You've seen this in your life already. When the body is out of control or the soul is out of control, if you're living with that in control of your life, you're already dying. You're already seeing that in your relationships. You're seeing that in your self-image. You're seeing that in your marriage and your family. You're not happy with things. You're not going on because you've let something go rampant in your life and you let the body get into control or the soul and you started to serve those things. And it says, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll find life. You'll live. Let these 21 days be us finding life in Jesus Christ. Letting the Spirit speak back into us. Whatever fast you choose, you make sure you're silencing the flesh. Getting rid of all the competing voices so you can hear God's voice. And then number four, the next thing you have to do is find a different rhythm. For these 21 days in January, find a different rhythm. I change up my schedule in January with the 6 a.m. and the 6 p.m. fast. I change up the things that we do around here. It's why we don't launch our small groups until the 1st of February. It's why we shut down around here. We don't do a lot of different things. We don't do a lot of events or do that because we've set aside these 21 days to go after God. In our church life, in our individual lives, we set aside these days as, hey, we're going to go after God. We're going to give up some things. We're going to put to death the flesh, and we're just going to go after Him and hear His voice in our life. But you got to change up the rhythm of your life. You got to do things a little bit differently so that you can hear His voice. We're setting aside January to be God's. And life slows down during these 21 days. I'll just tell you, I know we've got school starting. We've got some different things that happen. But if you set aside these times for God, life slows down, and here's what happens. You start to find different moments in your day where you start to pray more. You start to set aside times in your life that you begin to pray, and you begin to pray as a family and individually. You begin to lift up your home and your kids and your marriage. This is an awesome chance to realign your schedule to make sure that God is in priority, that God is first in your life. I want to encourage you, you got to change up your rhythm, and all of a sudden the clarity and the direction that we talked about comes into your life, and you're like, I've never heard God's voice as clearly as I do now. I promise you, you put in these principles, I promise you, you take these 21 days and you set them aside to God, and clarity will come in your life. You will hear God's voice more clearly than you ever had in your life. Let me show it to you in scripture, Isaiah 58. These are the Israelites. They're saying, why have we fasted and you haven't seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't even noticed God? They're kind of fussing at God here, right? They're kind of saying, why are we fasting, God? And you're not even listening. You're not even responding. And He responds at the end of the verse. He says, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. On the day of your fasting, you already do everything that you already have been doing. You haven't changed anything about the way that you live. You haven't reached out to those around you. You haven't put your life, you haven't reached out to the stranger and the sojourner. You haven't done anything that I've asked you to do. You've just been doing everything that you've been doing. So on the day of the fasting, that's why I haven't heard your prayers. That's why heaven seems like it's shut against you. Because if you continue your life as it is while you're fasting, again, that's just a diet. And diets will not change your spiritual life. A fast will. So when you're in a fast, you change the rhythm of your life. When we gather together in prayer, and I understand if you can't make every day, you can't make every morning, you can't come to, but we're streaming all of them. You jump online a couple of times a week. You begin to have those hours of focused prayer. You begin to join with us in focused prayer. That's where the benefit comes from. Is you aligning yourself with God, silencing the other voices and hearing Him speak. We got to silence the inputs into our lives. We're going to set aside times that we're reading the Word. We're going to set aside times in our rhythm that we're in the Bible, because maybe we've drifted, but we're coming back to it. And we have the prayer, we have the Bible reading for you that you can pick up on the info table. If you want to join with us this year, you want to begin to read, you want to get back in His Word, you want to pray. You got to change the rhythm of your life. And I promise you, if you do all of those things, I guarantee number 5, you can expect results. Again, during the rest of the year, I don't talk like this. Today, 100% guarantee you can expect results. If you do these things in these 21 days, I don't care if it's as simple as turning off the radio on your drive to work. Whatever that voice is, whatever those competing voices are, turn them off. I'm asking you, 21 days, decide in your heart what you're going to fast. Turn off those other voices. And let God speak to you. And I'm asking everybody in our church, we even have up in Kids Zone today, they're even giving out some of the things to your kids, the things that they can talk about and pray about and give up so they can hear the voice of God. It's a church-wide fast in our Spanish church as well. We're going to seek after God as one body and go after Him with everything that we have. I'm asking you to participate, not just giving up food, but in the spirit of fasting. Whatever those voices are that are coming in, those voices that are trying to drown out the voice of God in your life. Start to care for others, start to reach out. And here's the guarantee from Isaiah 58. It says, then your light will break forth like the dawn. Then your light's going to break forth and your healing will quickly appear. It's the first thing I'm praying for you during this time of fasting is that healing would come into your bodies. Whether it's in your physical bodies or it's emotionally or financially or whatever it is spiritually, I'm praying for healing for you. Righteousness will go before you. Righteousness, that's our right standing before God. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That's protection around you. That God would lead every single one of us to know where we're supposed to fast. That there would be healing that would come into our lives. That our righteousness would be restored. That we would be right before God. We would beg for forgiveness. That we would have our healing. We would pray. We would have our forgiveness. We would go before Him. And there would be protection in our life over your homes, over your families, over your kids, over yourselves. We pray for protection in our lives. And I promise you, if you put these things in practice, you take these 21 days, this will be the best year of your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. Let's just pray that God would lead every single one of us to understand where we're supposed to fast. how we're supposed to fast, what it's supposed to look like as we work through this week. I just want to pray that over you guys. But before I pray that prayer, there's some of you here that you're only here because you said, okay, in the new year, I've got to get my life right. I've got to get myself back on track. I want to just tell you, you're in the right place because God is so desperately in love with you. God loves you so much. And it's not an accident that you came this morning. And you're saying this morning, I've got to get my life right. And I don't care what mistakes you made in 2018. I don't care what you had. Let's let that be in the past. God is saying, I want to do something new in your life. And so this morning, if that's you, if you came in here saying, I've got to get my life back on track. I've got to get back to God. I just want you to know that he's here and he loves you. He's not trying to drum up all your past mistakes to make you feel guilty. He's not trying to hold it over you. Jesus didn't come so that you would be guilty. He came to set you free. So if I can tell you one thing this morning, it's let the past be the past. God wants you. God is waiting for you. And all you have to do is open your heart and receive him. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you today, I want to pray with you in just a moment. If that's you today, you say, I want that freedom in my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to just pray with you. Or if you say, I was close to God at one time in my life, but I've wandered from him. I was so close to him. I was hearing his voice, but I've wandered away from him. And now God feels like he's a million miles away from me. If that's you this morning, I want you to know God says, I'm right here. God is just waiting for you to come home. Let this first Sunday of the year be the day that you came home. The Bible says God is like the father who waits for the prodigal son. He doesn't even just wait in the house. He waits out front looking for him down the road. And it says when the son came afar off, the father saw him and he ran to him. And so I would encourage you, if that's you today, just turn. Turn yourself back towards God. And it says God will see you and he'll run to you. He's just waiting for you. And he loves you. So that's you this morning. You say in your heart, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I've decided I want that for my life. I want to be under alignment with God. Or you're saying, I want to come back home. I want to hear God's voice again. If that's you this morning, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I just want to pray with you. But would you do me the favor? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come to the front. I don't want to embarrass you. I want to connect you with Jesus. So if that's you this morning, you want to make that decision. It will never be easier than this. Just do me the favor. Would you just slip up your hand right now? I just want to pray with you. You say, include me in that prayer. That's you this morning. You say, I want to make that decision here at the first Sunday of the year. Say, include me. Thank you. Thank you in the back. You want to join those two? No one's looking around. You say, include me in that prayer. Thank you in the back. Thank you. We're not rushing through this, guys. If that's you, if you want to make that decision, you say, hey, pray with me. You want to join those four? Thank you in the back. Thank you. Guys, we're going to pray this morning. If I didn't see your hand, heaven saw it. And we're going to pray this out loud. If you raised your hand, I want you to say these words and we're all going to pray it out loud with you. I want you to just say these words. I can give you the words, but you've got to mean them. You got to mean them in your heart. So would you pray with me? And all of us are going to say it with you. Just say, dear Jesus, forgive me. Forgive my past mistakes. I need you in my life. So I surrender my life to you. Be the Lord of my heart. Help me to leave the past in the past. And I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, I thank you for this incredible journey that we're on, God. And Lord, I ask you for these next 21 days in our church, Lord, that you would continue to show us the way that you want each of us to fast. The way that you want us to silence the voices, God. That you would help us, Lord. That you would make a way in the desert, but you would give us also the power to accomplish it. Lord, that you would be with us during these 21 days. That we would silence the voices and we would hear you speak. That we would clearly hear you speak. And God, we're going to go after you with everything that we have. We're going to align our schedules. We're going to come after you, Lord, with all that we are. And Lord, we're going to take these 21 days. We're going to change up our rhythm because we're coming after you, God. And the 2019, Lord, would be the best year of our lives because we chose to put you first. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen, everybody. Come on, can we give God praise for what he's done, what he's going to do?